Welcome. You are listening to Our Burning Questions, a professional learning podcast where we ask brilliant educators everything you've ever wondered about teaching English language learners. I'm your host, Liesl Koop. I'm an ENL teacher and resource specialist with the Mid-State Regional Bilingual Education Resource Network in Syracuse, New York. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Our Burning Questions. This episode, I have to say, before we start, is going to be the most important episode that we make of this podcast. We have several guests on the podcast today, and today's episode centers around the perspectives of former English language learner students. I'm so excited. I'm so honored to be able to have this conversation with former students. And obviously, because it's a podcast, you can't see my face or their faces. I'm just so happy to be seeing them and having this conversation with them today. So listeners will forgive me if they hear the emotion as we go through these questions. Our burning questions for this episode are, what do you wish your teachers knew about you? And what does the idea of high expectations in school mean to you? And to start us off, I'm gonna have our special guests introduce themselves. So today on the podcast, we have Keith, Simara, Emma, and Brenda. And I'm gonna ask each of them these questions kind of about what they're doing right now in their lives or what they're working on, what they're interested in, and if there's anything they want you, the listeners, to know about them in relation to their experiences as English language learners. So I'm going to start with Keith. Hey, Keith.
Hey.
What do you want to tell the listeners about yourself? What are you currently doing right now?
Currently right now, I'm a clinical nutritionist at University of Colorado. I pretty much work with patients that are pre-diabetic and kind of helping them kind of work on their diet plans and make sure that, you know, they don't go to that diabetic stages. I recently graduated biochemistry and studying to pre-med. Want to become a physician. So
awesome. That's so awesome. Do you have any particular area of interest within what you're studying or just like in life in general?
Yeah, I'm fascinated with bones. Really want to do orthopedics if I can. If not, definitely gastroenterologist is something that I'm really fascinated as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that can open the doors once I get into the medical field. So,
awesome. Mm-hmm. And is there anything about your identity, whether that's as an English language learner or as a human being, that you want to share with our listeners so they have a better sense of who they're listening to?
I'm a Filipino and grew up in the Philippines, was born there, lived there for almost 12 years. So just moved in Colorado in like 2007.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Simara, I want to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm currently in 11th grade, and I want to study criminal justice when I graduate.
Awesome. Do you want to tell anybody listening about your identity or your language experiences?
Yeah, I am Puerto Rican, and I moved here 3 years ago. And yeah, it's going well so far.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Brenda, hi.
Hi.
Tell us about you.
Well, my name is Brenda. I am from Brazil. I've been living in the United States for about 8 years now. I graduated with a bachelor's in biology, so pre-med student, but I decided and I found my dream career of becoming a behavior analyst, and right now I'm a behavior therapist for kids in the spectrum.
Wow, awesome. And do you want to share with our listeners any of your identity markers?
Definitely. So I would say I'm half Brazilian, half American. I speak three languages. I speak Portuguese, Spanish, and English. And I think that's about it.
Thank you. And Emma, hi.
Hi.
Tell us about yourself, Emma.
Well, I'm currently in junior high school, and that's it. That's
what are you interested in, Emma? That's okay. Don't be nervous. We're just having a conversation. What are you interested in school or thinking about doing after school, Emma?
Well, I'm currently interested in probably like nursery stuff, like plants. But I'm not quite sure if I want to do that all my life. So I kind of thought of another minor information I want to do is probably interior designing. So that another thing. But I also want to swim for college, so that would be good.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds really cool. Emma, is there anything about your identity that you want to share with the listeners?
I was adopted when I was 9, so I was born in China, and yeah, I got a family. I speak Mandarin, Cantonese, but I don't speak anymore, so I only speak in English. So that's, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I'm so grateful that you're all here. It makes me so excited that so many people are going to hear your voices and hear about your experiences. So let's jump in. We're going to start with our first question, which was, what do you wish your teachers knew about you? And so I want to start out with this question. For those of you who may have been born outside of where you currently live or outside of the United States, can you remember what it felt like to start school here? And would you be willing to share some of the experiences you had as you navigated this new experience? And anybody can jump in, or I can choose who talks first, whatever you want to do.
Go for it, Brenda.
Okay. I feel like the first time I arrived here was super nervous. I spoke no English whatsoever. And it was really hard to make friends, especially because of the language barrier. So it was very challenging, that's for sure, for my first year of being in the United States.
Yeah, like Brenda said, it was really difficult for me too, because when I came here, I didn't know any English. I only knew Spanish. I didn't know anybody, only my aunt and my cousins and all that, and that was it. So it was really difficult for me at first to adapt, you know, and make friends and, you know, to not be nervous about what was coming my way and stuff. But after like 4 months of being here, I met awesome people and amazing teachers that helped me. And that's why I am where I am today.
I was very nervous when I came. I didn't speak any English, but very little probably, but not really understandable. But I very, very, very nervous to go to school because our school is very different compared to US. We have physical abuse and just the different environments, and it's very different culture than USA, so let's just say. So it's kind of very hard to learn.
Yeah, the moving to United States, I don't know about you guys, but they made me take an exam to check my writing, English, and grammar to see where I am to be eligible to you know, to see what kind of grade they'll be putting me on. And, you know, obviously with no background or knowledge of what, of English at that time, right? So it was kind of difficult for me to really assess the questions that they were given to me in English, because in Philippines, it's not English. It's literally in my language. So that was much easier. And translating it to English was so difficult when I took that exam that they put me back, held me back to a grade to just kind of like, you know, relearn some things in English, and which is perfectly fine, but it really kind of made me realize that this is going to be a, you know, a climb to go, like, to keep moving forward. So it was definitely difficult to really navigate through that path. So
I would like to add into that. I remember taking my very first test. I was in Florida, and I knew what a pencil was in English. I really did. I watched a lot of SpongeBob in English. And when I was taking the exam, I was so nervous that they asked me to show me a pencil and asked me, what do you call this? And I stared at a guy and I just started crying. So I 100% feel you on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much pressure in that moment. Like, even if you have the words, you know the words, you're like, oh my gosh, like, what's at stake here if I mess up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that when I took that exam, and you were like, it's okay, you're gonna be fine, you're gonna do well. But still, I was nervous because I didn't know any English, and I was like, oh my god, I feel dumb. But I wasn't. It's just that I didn't know language, and that's okay, you know?
Yeah,
right. So
I had a translator. I had a Chinese translating, so that really didn't help me because I was still fluent with Chinese. It just not enough the harder fluent with Chinese, you know what I mean? Like, it was harder to understand Chinese even more than ready is in English, so it's more difficult for both new tests. So
that's a such a complicated situation. Thank you for sharing those experiences. When you think back about like your first days and months in school, is there anything you think your teachers could have done differently to support you during this time?
I can start by saying that, you know, like a question box for me, like something that I can like, you know, put to kind of like a system, because sometimes as kids that are, you know, just recently like moved here, that don't really know much about the system, you know, of education here, it's really difficult to navigate as students, because I don't feel like I was given an opportunity to really speak out. Like, you know, because other students are far more knowledgeable, you know, and definitely have that advantage. And it was really difficult. And, you know, they have more, you know, obviously teachers get more, you know, put more attention to those students that are really willing to put the commitment. And, you know, that was kind of like the difficult part of it. So like a little suggestion box to kind of like assist us. Something like that to begin with, but didn't really see any. So
like a safe way to ask for help or ask
exactly
questions.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like that was very difficult for me to adapt to the system here. In Brazil, the system is completely different. How the teachers teach the material, how the students take the material, how the classes in general work, how they're scheduled. And that was very overwhelming for me, because when I first moved to the United States, I was in Florida and there was no language acquisition class. I was literally by myself, and no tour guide for me to find out where my classes were, no teacher to tell me, well, this is what's going to happen, this is how we do it, no suggestion box. So I felt very lost and very overwhelmed by the amount of things that was introduced to me. And I felt like because I was so overwhelmed, it reflected on the teachers as I wasn't interested in the classes. But that's not true, because I was very interested in learning. I was just very intimidated on how am I going to do this.
Yeah, I agree with that, because when I first moved here, the first year in ninth grade, math was a really difficult subject for me, because here the school system is completely different, and in Puerto Rico it's completely different too. They're like literally really behind in math. So when I came here, math was like really, really difficult for me because here they're like ahead of the game, you know, with that. So sometimes I feel like teachers felt like I didn't want to do anything, or I was just lazy when it wasn't like that. I was, like Brenda said, really, like, you know, scared because I didn't know, you know. I felt intimidated and to ask, because I always like to do things myself, and that's a mistake I made, because I should have asked, you know. If you ask, you're gonna get your answers, because teachers are there to help you. But I didn't want to do it because I wanted to do it myself, and I wanted to prove myself that I was capable of doing it. But it was really difficult at first with that.
I like to add in that there's E and L in my elementary, and I had E and L all through my life. And when it stopped when I go to middle school and high school, they didn't have classes for actual E and L class, just to learn English. So you're just basically having a study hall in middle school and high school. So you're not really learning English that time. So really, I like to have support about having English learning in high school and middle school, combining with homework that you need to be helped with. That's what I...
Yep. So like a dedicated time where the focus is simply English language development.
Yeah.
Would you all be willing to share some misconceptions or assumptions that teachers have had about you simply because you spoke other languages?
I cannot recall. Sorry. You can go ahead.
Okay. I cannot recall the time when anything my teacher made assumption with me that were untrue. But I feel like some of my friends and classmates might have times misconceptions about when I was putting on into co-taught class, and I felt kind of dumb to be in that class. So it kind of felt like I was in the wrong class. So what I know is that I need that class for extra support. That's why. But I felt like I was in the wrong class.
I had a history teacher who thought I was just being lazy in my classes because I didn't do the work the way he expected to be. And I had a really hard time with him because I could feel that he would treat me differently for that, because I sometimes would understand what he said, or I wouldn't answer a question the way he wanted me to answer, or the homework wasn't submitted the way he expected to be. So I had to have my language acquisition teacher help me out and speak to him about the challenge that a second language learner goes through when learning a different language. And thanks to that, things change for the better.
Samada, Keith, anything you want to share about any misconceptions or assumptions that teachers had?
Like I said earlier, I felt like some of my teachers felt like I was lazy because I didn't understand. I didn't do the homework like I was supposed to be, like Brenda said. And it wasn't like that. It was just I was starting to learn a new language, and I wasn't used to the school system here. Mm-hmm. So it was really difficult for me it was really difficult for me to not be shy and ask and be open and make friends and all that, because I also felt like some of my classmates thought I was like antisocial, or I didn't want to talk to anybody because I didn't talk in class and stuff, and it was because I was shy and I was, you know, scared and stuff. So yeah.
The assumption that I got from a lot my teachers was that the idea of, like, you know, these students are all the same. So I'm going to treat all students the same way it should be, whether you're from different country or any type of background you want. So that's one of the assumption that I got from them, knowing that, you know, when we, like, for example, still remember that English teacher that I have, not you, my regular English professor in high school, she, you know, I cannot tell you enough how much she kept, you know, saying how much grammar errors I'm getting in my paper, and, you know, and the amount of, like, things that I still don't know as a student at that time, you know, so because I was being assumed that you're in the United States, therefore you should have the same knowledge of these kids at this high level. But, you know, sometimes that's not the case for us students who have to translate the language to English. I don't know if you guys do this still, but every time, you know, I talk to a person that has a high level grammar in English, I have to translate things from my language to my, you know, to English all the time to make sure that everything they're saying is really connecting in my brain. So those are like the assumptions that I mostly got throughout, you know, my whole high school. So it was very difficult.
Thank you for that. Thank you, all of you. What is something you wish every teacher you've ever had knew about you that you think would have helped them support you more fully?
I often need understanding with the questions, what they're asking, because I know the answer, but I don't completely understand what they're saying, what they're asking, the term, what to answer the questions. So I specifically have trouble with grammars also, so that needs to be helped with. Yeah,
that's actually a really powerful thing for me to be able to share with teachers, is that students need clarity in the questioning. Yeah. That's really powerful, Emma. Thank
you. They twist the questions so the students have hard time to answering the question. Right. And that's what I trouble with.
Right, because you have the knowledge. You just need to understand what they're asking and need the opportunity to share it. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. What else?
I have to definitely agree with it. I remember that Mrs. Coop used to go into my biology class to help me and other ELA students who needed the help. And when we had our questions about the exams, you would come and help us out because I did know the answer and I did know what to do. I just had no idea what the question was. And I still struggle with that till this day. And I've been here for 8 years and I already got my bachelor's. I'm about to get my master's. And I still struggle till this day with the questions. I'm just like, I wish I had my ELA teacher right here next to me telling me what this question means, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
At that level of science, I don't think I could probably help. So please don't email me and ask me. You can try. I'll try. I'll try to help, but I probably won't be able to.
Me too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I still have trouble with questions and stuff, because I definitely know the answer, but sometimes I know it in Spanish, and then when I'm gonna do it in English, it's so difficult, because I'm like, I don't know how to express myself sometimes in English, and still it's been 3 years and I still sometimes struggle with that, because honestly I still express myself better in Spanish and English. But and sometimes teachers don't understand that, they just think you don't want to say anything and get, and I'm just like, no, I do want to add something. It's just that I don't know how to express myself, you know? So, yeah.
For me, I wish that every teacher knew about all of us is that, you know, if they see us, you know, struggling in little things, to kind of talk to us, to kind of give us that one-on-one conversation of, you know, is there anything I can help you with? You know, it seems like you're struggling in this type of area, but I've never gotten that help due to the fact that I know most teachers have other things to do, you know, even after class and other clerical stuff. So, which is fully understandable, but you know, that little connection, that little guidance, that really kind of like solidifies that student will try. Like, you know, we're struggling in this area. And, you know, that's something that the communication, like, has to be there to really, you know, help us students to be really adapt to that type of, you know, learning. So that's something that I would definitely wish that every teacher would have.
And that we're not lazy. Don't assume we're lazy just because we don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to do the work. We're struggling. We're going mm-hmm. to an inside battle in our heads, trying to figure out how to do this and be successful just like everybody else. We're just trying to catch up and mm-hmm. thinking of us we're lazy and not wanting to help us or maybe offer us help with somebody else who could actually help us is just making it even harder on us.
Yeah, that's the assumption that it always leads up to be honest.
Yeah, I definitely agree, yeah.
You. So let's get a little bit more specific. What is something you found really frustrating in school? And it could be you still find really frustrating in school, whether that was a particular relationship or a certain class or topic or a system that you had to learn about. What was something you found really frustrating?
The standardized exams. I feel like the ACT, the language acquisition exams, they're all, until this day, intimidates me so much. I feel like the questions are not made for people like me, who English is not the first language, and it should not say how smart I am or how much I know based on my grade on those exams, because it's not true. I had a teacher in high school who told me, I told her I wanted to be in anatomy class, and she told me that probably that wouldn't be a good idea because English wasn't my first language. And I had to had a counselor, Mr. Bard, which I love till this day with all my heart, tell the teacher that I'm fully capable of taking anatomy course, which I did, and I had the highest grades in the class. So it's just, those exams and teachers who just don't believe in my capability makes me very frustrated.
Yeah, I agree with that. Those like Regents exams and stuff frustrate me because I've been working all year to have my grades up and, you know, have all A's and everything. And then those exams come and then bring down your grade. And it gets me frustrated because those exams, like Brenda said, they don't define me. They don't define who I am. They don't define what I'm capable of doing, you know? So it's just frustrating, that part too.
What is frustrating me is that there's some students that act bad in the class. So it's kind of hard for students to learn and get educated from teachers. And some people don't even come to school, and that's really frustrating because teacher had to repeat over the class or the lessons that were already learned, and we don't want, it's wasting our time, so we don't want that, you know? That's my frustration.
No offense to all teachers, but I feel like majority of professors just sometimes don't really care about students, you know, like in this type of system. They kind of just do their job and just kind of just, you know, do their thing, you know. And I don't see any like impactful like mindset that really want to make student do things. You know, that's something that really like not frustrates me, but I've seen throughout my whole life, where you can see a professor that's really just there and kind of do her job, his job, and not really putting 100% to these students that are willing to really like understand and learn. You know, I think the system itself sometimes can be broken, so.
Thank you. As you're thinking about what has been very frustrating, you kind of talked already about like what might have been supportive instead. Is there anything else you want to add to those thoughts about what might have been supportive for you to move through that frustration? Any tangible advice you could give to move through that kind of frustration with the standardized testing or with teachers not knowing you, deeply knowing you?
I would say go look for help. You got to go reach out for help. I know it's hard because you're just scared everybody's going to judge you. Or you just feel like you don't connect to the culture and the people and they'll never understand you, or like you can't communicate, like Samara said, because I cannot express myself really well in English. I don't think somebody will understand what I'm saying. But if it wasn't for Ms. Scoop, for Mr. Bard, when I was in high school, I don't think I would have made it. And I asked him for help and I asked him to give me guidance or go to a website or look for help for my ACT tests or, I don't know, study guides. Ms. Scoop would prepare study guides for us to study. And I carry those study guidelines until this day with me with all the exams I take. And that's something that I think all students who are learning English or a different language should do. They should sit down and do a study guide and really get yourself the help that you need.
It sounds like you're also saying, in addition to teachers asking for help, that students need to advocate for themselves and practice that skill.
Definitely. If you don't advocate for yourself, even if you're the best teacher out there trying to help the kiddos, you won't be able to reach them because the kid won't be able to say what's going on with them. So if it's frustrating for you to communicate yourself, just try your hardest in writing maybe, or saying, or email, something that you feel the most comfortable with.
I think the people around you is your support group with the Pondy's frustration, right? Because if you think about it, you know, these people are the ones that's going to uplift you, kind of push you through to these type of things that, you know, that struggles you the most. So, you know, for us students, like, you know, people you're surrounded with is really going to decide, you know, who you are as a person, right? So that goes throughout all aspects of life, especially in school. So you surround yourself with, you know, people that are going to be like pushing you through the best of you, then that really will help you get out of these frustrations, you know. So I think having that support, you know, from students, teachers, yourself even, is really, and your family, those are like the things that will really kind of tell you as who you are as a person, like, you know, how capable you are of achieving what you want to achieve, you know, in these time when, you know, things are not looking good in your way.
Which I feel like that emphasizes having that ELA, language acquisition class, in every school. The fact that I did not have that in Florida made me 10 times more frustrated and upset than I was when I came to Colorado. And I had a support team of students just like me who are learning English, and teachers who were prepared and knew what they're doing to help me and support me and guide me through this.
Sometimes it's also with schools, the way that the system of school, so it's kind of hard to change it, everything. It just, you can't really fix anything the way it is. The only time you can do it is just to just help one another, I guess. That's how you can do. Other than that, I don't think you can fix it.
You're giving me a lot to think about. I do want to come back to that idea of changing a system. So hopefully if we have time at the end, we can talk more about that. But I would also like to know, what's the most impactful or meaningful interaction you can remember with a teacher, and what made that so meaningful to you?
Well, in third grade, my teacher had a candy that was in a jean, and it's called a Smarty Pants. So when we answer like a brilliant ideas or questions that it was something brilliant, he'll give you, she'll say, go to your candy, Smarty Pants or something, grab a candy. So that was kind of fun. But I also have another teacher that was in Catholic school. I also went to Catholic school, but they didn't really have an E&L class. So I was struggling that time. So when I was in Catholic school, I stay after school every single day with fewer teachers to help me my support. That's one of the most.
I love that.
I have two really impactful moments that I will never forget and inspired me to be in the field that I am today. One of them was when I did a good job getting a really good grade in my biology exam. A teacher who shall not be named gave me a Glee little sticker. I'm not sure how you call those. And I put it in my backpack and I had a collection of those. And it was kind of like the most beautiful reinforcement I've ever gotten. And it made me feel like special, important, and capable of the things I was doing. And the second thing was the same teacher who shall also not be named was living.
But this teacher is like Voldemort or something. Sorry.
She was in a different state. And when I graduated, she came all the way from that different state to come see me, not just me, but other students in my graduation. Because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have graduated.
Yeah, I have to. Meaningful moments for me. One was when I started ninth grade. You saw me one day. I was like really frustrated and I was like not talking or doing anything. You came up to me and you asked me what was wrong, and I told you that I was really frustrated because I didn't understand anything and I thought that I was not capable of doing stuff. And you told me that everything was gonna be okay, that you were there to help me. And I don't know, I felt like that was really encouraging because I was like, yeah, everything's gonna be okay. I just have to, you know, like trust the process and whatever. And here I am today. I mean, I am graduating next year and I ended up doing BOCES. I never thought I was gonna do it because I was like, yeah, I'm going like half of the school day to another school where I don't know anybody. Nobody speaks Spanish, they only speak English, and I'm not gonna be capable of communicating or doing anything. Well, it wasn't like that. I mean, I'm still doing BOCES. I have one of the highest grades in the class, and I am doing criminal justice next year, so that really helped me. You were always there, like, supporting me and, like, giving me energy to keep moving forward and stuff. So, yeah.
I don't say it was impactful, but still remember to this day where my AMP 2 professor, I failed my cardiac exam 2. I still remember that. I studied so hard for that thing, and he sat me down. He told me to stay after class, and he's like, what happened? And I was like, I don't know. My mind just shut down, and you're just like, you're doing so well. Like, I just, you know, didn't know what happened. And he was kind of, you know, like, he was very, like, affectionate of what happened. And it was very, that was very meaningful to me because I didn't know how to react to him, you know, and the result that I got. And, you know, for him to come to me and really kind of just step me down and kind of put me back to the place where, you know, he told me just, you know, there's two more that you can real, you know, you're not the student that I, you know, that you think you just, what I just witnessed, you know. So, you know, whatever is going on with you and stuff like that, really kind of, you know, use that as a way to kind of like, you know, go back to where you were, you know, when I first met you. Because I think, I don't know if it was you or some other professor, they always tell me this, first day of class, tell your name, say hi to them. That's it. You know, leave a little mark. And that's what I've been doing every time I go to a new class or even new semester. You know, till this time I graduated, every time, you know, in my internship, I always say first and last name, shake your hands, and leave a mark in that my person's mind. So that's something that I've always kept. And that's something that's really meaningful to me with anybody that I meet. So
nice. Thank you for sharing those moments. Kind of related to that, what's your favorite lesson or like unit that you remember from school, and why do you think you still remember it? And hopefully you remember something, but maybe not. I don't know.
About to get science-y in here.
All right, good.
Oh man. I'll go first. I love biochemistry. I can't stand, like, I can't not like say that enough, like how much I love that class. You know, this professor really made me realize my full knowledge of me, like my fascination and what I want to do in my life. You know, for him to really use amino acids and add it, he added to cookies. Like, he add glutamic acid to cookies, which makes them really salty, but it's so good. It's so good. But that's something that, like, favorite lesson is pretty much just understanding us, you know, like, the biochemistry of things, how we move. And I'm still remembering, you know, pathways of glycolysis, gluconeogenesis, all of those little things that really kind of just, it's embodied in my head. And I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he did it in a way that was so visual and also very fun, which that really made that class, it was my hardest class, but it was so much fun to the point that you don't even care if it's that hard. You know, and I think that's something that was like so wonderful, you know, of learning, is that you get to see this. I know, you know, I think one of us are still in, you know, high school, and you will be able to experience this when you go to a higher level class, and it is really amazing to see all of us, what are capable of. It really brings that idea of you can do anything. Just, it's amazing.
And so, just a reminder to our listeners, don't forget that Keith said at the beginning, he was held back when he first came to the United States simply because he didn't speak English.
I did too.
Like, hello, like, just think about that. And now he's like, hey guys, my favorite class is biochemistry. Like, hello, oh. I can't. Like, I heard somebody say today, just a reminder that English is a language. It's not a measure of intelligence. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that is what teachers need to remember when they're working with multilingual students and their families. Sorry, didn't mean to hijack that. Somebody else share what your favorite lesson or unit was.
I don't have a favorite, let's just say, but I always like having my teacher for helping every single time, every single minute. Just, it means a lot, that's all.
You help so much. For the patience, for the drive to help us, it's so beautiful to see people out there who's willing, like, wants to help us and make us, like, improve and be the best version of ourselves. I feel like my favorite class in high school was anatomy and physiology, just because the teacher told me I couldn't do it. Mm. And then I did it, and then I got the best grade in the class, and I was like, oh, okay. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have got the degree I got today and became the person I am today. So I will never forget about the moment she said I couldn't do it and in the moment that I showed her my grade.
I love that.
Yeah, for me, it was music class. I was in music class in 9th grade, and then 10th grade, I was in choir. So I really remember those days, and they're really meaningful to me because it really helped me to gain like confidence and like meet new people and share things that I like with them. And it really, it was like a, that class was like a distraction from me to what I was going through at that time. So it was like really meaningful to me, and I still remember it to this day. So yeah.
Thank you. We're gonna shift gears a little bit to our second main question, which was, what does the idea of high expectations in school mean to you? So teachers talk to each other about high expectations all the time, but I know that I am guilty of not always asking my students, what does that mean to them? So I wanna know, from your perspective, what do high expectations feel like to you? What do they result in? And do you feel like teachers make their idea of high expectations clear to you? So first tell me what that means to you, and then tell me if you understand what that has meant to your teachers.
You want me to go? For me, like, what does high expectations mean to me? Or
yeah, what does that mean to you?
Oh yeah, for me it means like the expectation of knowing like things and not being and being able to, you know, actually do things without disappointing anyone and yourself. That's like my meaning of high expectations. And for, you know, the high expectations of that results to me in the way of, you know, that really burns me out, because in my mind that if I am not excelling the way these teachers or, you know, other peers that want me to be at, then I'm letting them not also down, but it also gives me that anxiety of, can I even do this? So that high expectation really holds a high standard in everyone's head, because it really makes you question of like, are you even able, can you do this? Or if so, if not, and then, what can you do? Like those questions really, that like something that really like, to this day really like kind of puts you in that mindset of like, can you still do it? You know, even if you, you know, you reach that milestone, can you keep moving? You know, that high expectation from you, for me and, you know, others is really, can be the same, can be different, right? So.
What does that mean to you, the rest of you? What high expectations, what does that mean in your mind?
I definitely think that expectation that you just know, you have to know this, like to think that all of us just automatically know exactly what's going on in the teacher's head just because all the other students do. We don't. We have no idea what's going on. We're trying to figure it out. And it puts a huge pressure on us. And are we good enough for this? Can we do this? Just like you said, like makes you question your worth. And I feel like that's not healthy at all. Also having good grades, behaving yourself, falling with the culture, like guidelines. That's impossible. I can't fit into the culture guidelines because this is not my culture. I'm learning about it, you know, and having those guidelines that we just know is just really frustrating for, at least for me. And I tried so hard in high school and in college to fit those guidelines, and it made me so frustrated and has like kind of impacted my emotional health. And on my last year of college, I decided to just be like, you know what, I'm going to do the best I can, and I'm going to follow the general guidelines, but I'm going to do it my way. And if the professors don't like it, then it's their problem, because that's the best way I can do this. And it worked very well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Having that pressure on you makes you insecure about yourself. You're like, am I good enough? Am I doing, like, am I doing well? Like, you know, it makes you insecure because you feel like you have to follow those guidelines, you know. And I don't know at all. I mean, I'm still learning. I still have to look up stuff and ask. So, yeah.
For me, when a teacher give you a load of homework or assignments and able to learn, give you the work, it make me to push my work and able to achieve what I'm going through. And I don't know it's necessary for teacher to especially talk about expectations. It's clear in the way they teach, but I also feel like students have to have an interior desire to learn and achieve. That's what that means.
Thank you. Yeah, that's helpful, I think, for teachers to hear, because, you know, that is kind of like a buzz phrase in the education world, high expectations for all students. But we need to remember that each student is an individual, and each student brings experiences and strength and knowledge. And I think that, I know for myself, I can speak for myself, that when I have thought in the past about the expectations I have for students, they may have been rooted in a system that was not designed for multilingual students. And so that for me means I need to reflect and revisit on what are the expectations I have for my students academically or socially or emotionally, and do they know that that's my expectation? Have I told them, like, this is what I expect? I think for me that is a practice that I wish I had done more when I was in the classroom, really being direct with my students, saying, like, this is my expectation. How does that land with you? Like, does that sound like it meets your needs? Does it push you to grow? That, because that's what I'm trying to do. So I think I wish I had done that more when I was in the classroom. How do you think teachers can hold high expectations for multilingual students while still recognizing the fact that they're multilingual students and they have some different experiences than monolingual English speakers?
I think it will help if they know some of the understanding of both language and hold multilingual students to the same expectation as a native English speaking students.
Mm.
It shouldn't matter what language you learned and information, as long as you can show you learn it, the information.
I think, Ms. Coop, what you just said about asking us, I feel like you can definitely set a list of, like, expectations. Let us know those expectations. Ask us if that's okay. And make us feel like it's okay for us to come and tell you, hey, I can't do this, or I'm struggling with this. Is there any way you could help me? Can we change those expectations a little bit? Or what can you do to help me reach those expectations? Because I feel like at the end of the day, having that relationship with your teacher and where you're comfortable enough to seek for help is very important.
Yeah, definitely ask your students about their struggles and how you can help them to be better. You know, instead of just not asking, expect them to do perfect when you don't know what's going on inside their head or what's going on at home and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, I agree with all three of, you know, what they're saying. You know, definitely clarify. I think clarify expectations to these students by, like, setting up discussion board, you know, on the page, you know, so the students can ask questions about those type of, like, expectations. Also, not all students learn the same as any other students, right? So, like, you know, for me, if, you know, you were holding these people on high expectations, then provide extra visual and oral support to these students, right? Kind of give them that, or, you know, like, the redundance and, you know, like, paraphrase things to these students, right? because some things are not, some students can understand that, some students don't. So really giving that extra visual and oral really, you know, really solidifies that communication really well. And, you know, and I think, you know, this is something for me. I personally do this from here on out till I, you know, till I graduated, where I record classes, sessions, you know, I record things on my phone now, like, because sometimes, you know, it's some professors go in the, you know, past space, some professors don't, you know, so you really gotta, like, play around, you know, those key ideas, and, you know, and the opportunities are there, right? You know, you can always, professors can always ask questions at the end of this, you know, their classes, always, you know, and ask students of, like write a piece of paper of these things that they might be confused about, you know, on their following things that they might be doing at home. So, like, there is, the high expectation is held there for standard, like Emma said, is that to students, our need, you know, students like us need to work either twice as hard or just ask for that help that really solidifies us students to be good. You know, I think, you know, us students are held accountable for our actions. If we're not asking for help, if we're not even, you know, asking for things to really help us, how are we going to help ourselves, you know, when, and then we come to our professors and saying, like, I don't understand this, but you didn't help yourself to begin with, right? So those are the things that you want to kind of ask us, ourselves, as students, and also, you know, kind of like reassure ourselves that, you know, we really want to learn, right? Like, that expectation is there. So then how can we as students really, like, bring ourselves to that, you know, for us as well, right? You're trying to prove something to ourselves that we're better than that. Because if we kept that high standard the same for the rest of us, then there wouldn't be us. Like, there wouldn't be students like us that are pushing hard to be good, to change the system, right? So there's a lot of possibilities that can really, you know, help us, help other students, help bilingual students to be good. You know, it also starts with you. Like, so that's a very question that's really, really structured, you know, and there's a lot of answer to that question. So
thank you all of you. In the area where I live right now, there are a couple school districts or areas, regions that have a lot of multilingual students and families, and there are also a lot of schools who have none, or like one family who speaks a language other than English. So what advice would you give to the teachers who are listening who have never taught multilingual students?
Well, knowing more than one language should be seen as a positive thing, not a negative. Oftentimes, it seems like ENL students are looked at for what they cannot do instead of what they can do. Now these days, teachers should learn how to explain the questions better in a way that students could understand. Don't assume we don't know the answer, which we do sometimes. Often, I just don't understand what the question's asking, usually what we talk about.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And also definitely to have patience with students, because at first we can be really shy and be afraid to ask or say stuff. So definitely have patience with them so they can open up to you and like communicate and do stuff, you know.
So like flexibility with us, if you're doing something a specific way, and you have a student who's learning English, have the flexibility to be able to change your schedule just a little bit, to help us and guide us into fitting into your expectations, support, and understanding that we're not, like I said, we're not lazy. We're here to learn and to understand things and have that support really matter to us and having somebody we can go to. I feel like when I was in high school, I did get bullied for not knowing the language, and kids would make fun of me when I had to speak in front of the classroom, or when I was in random groups and I had to speak up, I would just be really quiet in my corner because I was just really intimidated. And I feel like this is a time for the teacher to help the student feel safe and secure and capable of doing exactly what the other students are doing, which is a little bit of flexibility.
Be patient. I think that's that word is very understatement, to be honest. I think patience for all, not only us, but every other student really change, the way of learning. I think, when anybody in a new setting, they're always going to be uncomfortable, right? So, for those teachers who have never taught multi, lingual, classes, the patience is there, to really kind of understand these kids, right? To really be there for them, so, yeah.
What advice would you give to students right now, maybe who are younger than you, who are still in high school or, just coming to the United States as multilingual individuals? What advice would you give to the students who may be searching for their own voice and place in school? And you can say it in English, or you can say it in your native language. You can say it in whatever language you want to say, because it's for students. It's not for me.
I like to keep it your home language. Make sure you keep on up your home language. Make sure, don't be worried about just keeping up with English. The English will come along with the time. And unfortunately, if you don't focus on your own language, home language, especially your parents don't speak your home language, it's kind of hard. Yeah. So I would keep your language.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, to keep your home language, because in the future, it can open you so many doors and give you so many opportunities to do stuff. And also to be patient too, because I know it gets hard when you're just frustrated because you don't know the language and you think you're never going to learn, but it's not like that. You'll learn, because if we did it, they can do it too. So, yeah.
Definitely. I would say that too. I mean, I came here speaking only Portuguese, and I would speak fluent Portuguese, Spanish, and English. And I really did not know I was going to speak English. Every time I speak, I'm like, whoa, this is me speaking? What is this? I would say perseverance. It's really hard not to lose yourself on the way to being a new you. So you have to never forget your culture, who you are, where you come from, and why you're here. I come from a third world country and a very poor family, and now I am in a very nice country with great opportunities, and I'm helping my mom back in my country. So I'm making a difference, and I feel like this is really important, that every sacrifice you make to be here is extremely important, and it matters a lot. Então, não desista, seja muito forte, que você consegue.
See, I agree with all of them. Part of my life, these are the things that I've learned that I hope that I would have, I can hopefully pass on in these future students, is that take a risk. I think a lot of students are nervous of taking a risk and saying something that's for them, and that's something that I've always kind of held back against me is that I didn't take risks back then. I just kind of put myself in that corner and just like wait for others to say something, you know, or do something. And, you know, that's something that I'm always going to carry through life, you know. For you to find your own voice, you gotta take risks. And also be curious, right? Because being curious is always something that really leads to learning. It's knowledge. Curiosity is the best thing to learn something new. It's like you're talking to a homeless man is best, you know, the beauty, good thing, because they teach you something that you've never even learned before. You know, and I've always, even if it's a simple question, because I've always had this thing in my mind, is that I always use this when I was in college, is that I always start this phrase, I always say this, especially in an anatomy class. Junior year, still remember it, first day, I was like, I know this is a stupid question, but what is this, this, this? And, you know, and then the professor then goes ahead and be, you know, says like, no, it's not a stupid question. No, that's something that my, you know, other students might have, like, have curiosity as well. That curiosity speaks a lot, right? It speaks volumes because it really, really gives you an idea of you're willing to understand the concept and also learn it, right? So curiosity is something that I would really pass on to these students because at the end of the day, you're going to constantly ask questions and you're always going to be curious, you know? We're all a curious cat. You always want to know what's happening in the world, so.
Awesome.
I like to add something.
Mm-hmm.
Losing a language is not the best situation you should put yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst, actually. I regret it, probably. But I could go back and probably easily know what I can do in my own language. But for now, probably focus on English. But if I were that person again, I would definitely not lose it. It would definitely help you.
Yeah, I think that we should all, at least from my side, is that all of us trying to learn English and just a guy here, we're superheroes. We speak a different language. There's so many kids here who don't speak more than one language, and having that extra language, that extra culture, that open-mindedness makes us superheroes to be more open to more new ideas and be supportive to other people. And I feel like that's super cool. It's like the coolest superpower.
I love that. And I so appreciate you giving that advice to our listeners. And one of our dear friends just joined us. I don't know if she can hear us. Hi, Kittist.
Oh, she was in my batch.
We can't hear you, but hopefully your sound will work. That's awesome. But something that I wanted to add to what you, Emma, and Brenda were just saying is that, now I forgot what I was saying because I was so excited that Kittis was here. But I want you to know that when I'm working with teachers who are supporting multilingual students, we remind teachers all the time that the goal of English language classes is not to create English language speakers. The goal is to create multilingual students. And I think that there's a lot of talk in the education world about the achievement gap or the education gap or academic gap. And the gap exists because there are monolingual English speakers, not because there are multilingual students. And that is something that teachers need to be reminded of on a regular basis, kind of pivoting that perspective and remembering, just like you said, Brenda, that our multilingual students are gifts to our communities. And hey, Kittist, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, guys. I was asleep. Sorry.
That's okay.
We're coming in late.
No worries. Kittist, we're talking right now about what advice would you give to students who might be searching for their own voice and place in school. Is there any kind of advice you would give to kids who are looking for their voice?
I feel like, for me, while I was in school, I was myself and try to be friends with people that can relate to me. That way I can learn English. So I feel like if they should be themselves, one, and to be, I feel like with culture, I don't know how to explain this, but everybody has a different culture, especially in school, and they have their own clique. So I feel like they should be somewhere where not be at one spot, like be open mind to, you know, get to know everybody and learn who they really are.
Thank you for that. Is there any question you wish that I would have asked you today that I didn't ask? Is there anything that you really feel is important for the teachers listening to know?
Yes, I feel like we should, not a question, but just like we should all appreciate the teachers who are out there trying to help us and provide us the support that we need. I feel like if they're doing a good job and you think that too, you should go remind them of that and inspire them, because it must be really hard being, like, I think it is really hard being a teacher, especially for multilingual students from so many different places. So being reminding them that they're important and their job really matters for us is like a huge deal, is really reinforcing.
I agree with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that too. It really gives you motivation to keep doing what you're doing and not give up.
Thank you. So thank you,
Mr. Yeah. You're welcome. It was my honor and my pleasure. I just want to thank each of you for taking this time today. This is like, I told you I was going to be emotional. This is definitely one of the most special things I've gotten to do as a teacher.
Aww.
I wanted to do this so that so many more teachers could hear from your voice, from your mouth, what your experiences have been, what you know are your strengths, and what you bring to a classroom and to a community. And I don't think that... I know I'm guilty of not always centering my students as a teacher, and my goal is to always put you at the center. And I know that's the goal of so many teachers listening. And so to be able to hear your thoughts and your experiences from your perspective, from your mouth without me telling them, is really powerful and really special. And I want to thank you for being vulnerable and taking this time today. I know you're all so busy, and this is really special for me. So.
Thank you.
Is there any last thoughts before we sign off?
No.
Okay. I love you all.
We love you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. If you would like to learn more about the brilliant guests we had on today's episode or any of the resources we discussed, please find those on our webpage. This podcast is produced by Midstate Arburn at OCM BOCES, and our theme music is Sunbeam from Purple Planet Music. We hope that you'll tune in next time for more of Our Burning Questions.